which you, some of you probably knew I was going to be speaking. Welcome. Welcome to all. If you're a visitor with us tonight, please accept our special welcome. If you're listening on the podcast, please follow along the best you can. I will be using a lot of verses. I told Phil this morning after services that his lesson and my lesson will be very similar. He talked about being an example, and tonight I want to speak about our Christian duty. All of my verses will be coming from the New King James Version, so if you're using a different version, it may read a little different. I try to always stay in the New Testament, but I do have a few Old Testament verses to emphasize the point that I'm trying to make. Who do we have Christian duties to? Are those duties to just mankind, or are they to others? Oh, I turned it off. Our first duty should be to God. We are told to fear God and keep His commandments. In Ecclesiastes 12, the 13th verse, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." We must also praise and glorify God. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." But is this all the duties we have to God? In preparing this lesson, I didn't realize how many duties we have to the different aspects, and we're going to try to keep talking about those, staying on our duties to God. We must be a fellow worker with Him. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labors." Verse 9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." If we are God's field, He is working us like a farmer works his field. He may be planting corn or wheat, and he goes out and he tills the ground and he plows the ground and he puts the seed in the ground and he prays, doesn't he, that crop will come up. When that crop comes up, he goes out and works that field. God works us. But we must also have fear in God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must have faith in God. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are many other verses that talk about our duties to God. But I'd like to go to another topic, and that is to Christ. We have a lot of duties to Christ, don't we? In Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, it tells us that we must accept him as our Lord. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That is, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We must also save him. We must also serve him daily. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. We have duties also to Christ in our Christian living. Matthew, the 25th chapter again, and verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here, this is about the judgment day. And if you remember in these verses, God is separating, or Jesus is separating, those on his left and those on his right. And in verse 40, it says, and the king will answer and say to them, Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is those who are on the right hand of God, of Christ. And those on the left hand, he says in verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Here he's talking about Christians ask him whenever he is talking about seeing him in different states. And he tells them, if you did it to someone else, if you did it to a Christian, you've done it to me. And then those who were on his left hand said, well, Christ, when did we see you in all these states? And he said, if you didn't do it to one of mine, you didn't do it to me. And in Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verses 45 and 46, he speaks what will happen. Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous to everlasting life. We also have a duty to the church. This is where I found the most duties that we have. In Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 23, we're told to be faithful until death. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We must remain faithful until death. We must attend services. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, a very familiar verse to all of us. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And that day is in a capital letter. That's the day of judgment. We must give cheerfully. This morning we partook of the Lord's Supper. And separate and apart, we gave of our means. We must be a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudging or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have the abundance for every good work. We must partake of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received, Paul here talking to the Corinthians, they were misusing the Lord's Supper. And Paul tells them, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Again in Luke here, the inspired apostle, says, Luke 22, verse 19 and 20, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We know that just hours later, he had been taken into custody. He had gone before the ruler. Peter had denied him. And then he hung on the cross. One more example of duty to the church. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one deceive your youth. Paul here, talking to Timothy, tells him, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That list was about two times that long that I found. But I tried to cut that down just a little bit. We also have a duty to ourselves. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we are told to be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are told to be spotless. James 1, verses 25 through 27. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We must also save ourselves. If we're going to save others, we have to save ourselves first. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That verse right there is a very powerful verse, isn't it? It tells us that we must work out our own salvation and in fear and trembling. We have a duty also to our families. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We must provide support for our families. We must provide love. Ephesians 5, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we know that that goes both ways. Here, the husbands are told to love their wives. But we know also that the wives must love their husbands and their children. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, on down in verses 28 and 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. The Lord gave up his life for us as a church. He hung upon that cross so that we may have the forgiveness of sins, a chance to go to heaven with him. We must also provide training. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, just a few verses down, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. My parents believed that, I'll tell you, because every time that there was services, they took me as much as they possibly could. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we sit down with our children and study nightly, study their class material, study our class material, then we are training ourselves and our children. We also have duties to fellow Christians. In Galatians, the first chapter again, in Galatians, the sixth chapter, in verse 1, we are told to restore an erring brother. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In the next couple of verses, we see that we must bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. For each one shall bear his own burden, or his own load. We must do good to our fellow members. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And one that we may not always think about is we must pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, a very short verse. Brethren, pray for us. We must pray for our fellow Christians. We've seen here that we have many people that we have duties for. But we have duties for also for our fellow man, our neighbor. In Galatians, the sixth chapter again, in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. And we must also show mercy. Luke 10, verses 25, is where we're going to start. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What an open-ended question that was, wasn't it? Christ then, can't you just see him sitting down with this lawyer and saying, I have a parable for that. It's called the Good Samaritan. In verses 25, Luke 10, verses 25, and behold, I'm sorry, I read that one. Verse 29, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? If you remember the Good Samaritan, this man was going down the road. He fell among thieves. First person that come by, can't you just see him kind of looking and then passed on by? And then another came and he passed on by. And then the Good Samaritan came and he took this man that had fallen among the thieves and had been beaten up. He put him up on his donkey, took him into the next city, and paid for the innkeeper to keep him. He said, I'll be back and pay for what this gentleman has incurred. Verse 36. So Christ asked this lawyer, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Couldn't you just see Christ sitting next to us and saying, go and do likewise. Treat your neighbor in a very friendly and good way. We must speak the truth to to our neighbors. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. We must also walk honorably before our neighbor and before all men. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do not, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as much as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. That verse right there is a powerful verse also. Because if we don't associate with our neighbors, we can't teach them. That's one thing that I am guilty of. I speak to our neighbors, and I try to live a good life before them. And we try to teach. But we also have another commandment. We are to save our neighbor. James 5, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We must also love our neighbor. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13 tells us in verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you should not bear false witness, you should not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilled, is the fulfillment of the law. We must love our neighbor. We must do everything to take him to heaven with us. We also have duties to the government, don't we? Romans 13, verse 1 tells us to submit to the government. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. We must obey the government. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, we're told in verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We are also told that we must pray for our government. One of our members told me last Sunday night, that They were brought to tears by my prayer last Sunday evening because I prayed that God look down on all the governments of the world and guide them, that they will do what is right. We must pray for our government. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We may not always want to submit to our government, but God tells us that we should. We must also pay our taxes. Romans 13, verses 6 and 7. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continuously to this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to who fear. Honor to whom honor. Matthew 22, verse 17 tells us, Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is that? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. This next duty you may not think about, but we have a duty to our enemies. Now, we talked about our neighbors and how we should do good to them and how we should save them and teach them. But we also have duties to what we might call our enemies. We must let our light shine. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. That was Phil's verse from this morning, wasn't it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think about that hillside, that hill. And you may see, if you're out near the ocean, you may see this great big lighthouse and this big light that goes across the sea and across the ocean. That's what I think of whenever I read this verse. Let your light shine. We must also show love. Just a few verses down in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do you think we can pray for our enemy, that we can show our light? But we must also show forgiveness to those who do us wrong. For if you forgive man their trespasses, Matthew 6, verse 14, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive man their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we don't show kindness to all man and forgive them of the things that they do to us, then Christ and God will not forgive us. As a conclusion, I want to read the verse that I started out with in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 11. We're going to start verse 11 and read through 14. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails. Can't you just see that? The words of the scholars, when you're building something, you hammer that nail in and make sure that it's in all the way. That's a well-driven nail. Given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Tonight we have spoken of the many duties that we have to the different aspects that we come in contact with. But tonight, if you have never heard the gospel before, you may be listening on the podcast or you may be visiting with us and not affiliated with a church. If anything that I have said or anything that you would like to study, please let us know, because we want to study with you. We want to bring other Christians. We want to bring other people into the Christian faith. Another aspect would be those who have heard and have studied but have never taken the opportunity to obey the will of God. Tonight, if that is your case, then we will baptize you if you come forward. You may be in another aspect of life. You may be a Christian, and you may know what you should do, but you have wandered away. Tonight, we can also pray for you and with you. If you'll come forward as we sing the invitation song.